We are about to speak with another Georgia mom who has experienced the unimaginable. Join us today on Fostering the Future.
Welcome to the Fostering the Future podcast, a show about all things child welfare, dependency, adoption, and foster care. Here are your hosts, veterans in the world of child welfare, Jack and Kat.
We believe that every human has incredible and equal value regardless of what side of the courtroom we sit on. We hope that everyone feels welcome and accepted here on Fostering the Future.
Make sure you follow us on Facebook or Instagram as Fostering the Future Podcast, or check us out on our website at fosteringthefuturepodcast.org. Please join us as we continue with Diana's story.
It's unbelievable that these people are getting away with this. These child abuse pediatricians, they have to go.
They need to be held accountable.
The unchecked abuse of power, total and complete power.
To destroy families.
And the judges are letting them do it.
It's bad enough when you're just dealing with your standard variety of people who are struggling and having some type of issue that brings them into the system. But now you're taking kids who have medical diagnosis and calling it abuse. This is where it's going to start affecting more people, because it's a lot easier to ignore someone who has a mental health concern, who is coming from extreme poverty, who is struggling with a drug addiction, than it is somebody who could be my next door neighbor, somebody who could be my aunt, my cousin. And that's the thing, as we're posting and talking about these conversations on social media, the post that I put up about the Hernandez family, I think it was last week, that now has 1.9 million views. I'm getting comment after comment after comment. I brought my kids to CHOA and the same thing happened. My aunt had a child with a metabolic bone disease, and this happened, like, person after person has had these experiences. And that's what child abuse pediatricians are doing. They're scooping people up that do not belong in child welfare and destroying their families in the process of putting them there. And this whole situation with Barbara Knox and all her cronies needs to be resolved.
I think that was one of the biggest shock factors for me, hearing about Dr. Knox's past. Every colleague of hers in Alaska resigned because they had constantly reported bullying to corroborate what she wants them to say. Was mind-blowing to me, because the radiologist got on the stand and testified that they being himself and Dr. Knox, did an addendum to his radiologist report finding a slew of more fractures with Dr. Knox sitting next to him. After hearing that in the court, because it was brought up in the court, and then him admitting that 2 days later, after he wrote his first report on what he saw, Dr. Knox came and sat next to him and they somehow found just a ton more fractures in my baby. Would that not be questionable to someone?
It should be.
Again, show them to me. You couldn't show them to me the first time on October 1st, but now on October 3rd, with Dr. Knox sitting next to you, you find maybe 10 more.
Have they produced them for court?
Oh, yeah. They'll put them up on a screen, but you don't know what you're looking at. I mean, it's not like you're looking at an x-ray and you can see a line like a fracture.
It's not a fracture. It's a lesion.
It's a white line at the end of her bone. I mean, I'm not trained whatsoever, but looking at her ribs, you can visibly see in the posterior healing rib fractures. You can. Just a couple of them, you can see that callus formation. So I can visibly see that. So I can comprehend that, but everything else they're claiming, it's not what you would think a fracture would look like.
But also you have, when you had to do the back compressions, you have the incident when they were holding her wrist and her ankles to try to do the IVs, when they were transporting her in a helicopter, when you had to do the back compressions, I'm guessing that there were other things that they had to do at that point as well. Maybe flipping her over, maybe doing some other things to her in that moment of crisis.
in that moment where she was choking in the NICU, did they do compressions in the form of CPR at all? Because I know those often cause rib fractures.
No, and that's where everyone was getting confused, and they kept calling it CPR, and it wasn't CPR. The motion that was used, I took CPR in first aid. It was called the Heimlich. I guess now, from talking to the hospital and the amendment department, they want to call it back slaps. But it's just where you turn your baby over, you support their neck and head, and you do back slaps between the shoulder blades. But again, we're talking about a baby at the time was 4 pounds, the size of my palm. And especially during a traumatic moment, most likely my palm took up the entirety of her back when she was choking. And I was, you know, being instructed to continue that motion while they provided her oxygen and suction from the front.
Is it possible those back slaps caused the rib fractures?
That's what I believe. Yeah, that's the only thing I can think of. And since Dr. Persnick dated them back to that time frame, then that's the only thing that could have happened.
Unless a nurse was secretly taking your daughter out of the NICU and drop kicking her in the way that, you know, Dr. Knox seemed to think happened.
Right. And again, drop kicking her, punching her with no signs of any
bruising or
any bruises or.
So everything can be explained anyway.
Even if a regular child could receive rib fractures from back slaps, she's not just small. She also, we found through the geneticist, has demineralization of her bones. So we already know that's happening. So that could be any slight thing that wouldn't maybe do it to another child, but would to her because of her health condition. This is just absurd to me. All of the things that basically prove that it's not child abuse are things like the rib fractures dating to the NICU, which the geneticist was able to do, which is so interesting that they told you there was no way to date them, which we know there is a way to date them because other doctors date them. Maybe what they should have said is, I'm not the type of doctor that can date them, but clearly they can date them. And also, why could they not date them, but they could say that they were in various stages of healing? Isn't that in of itself a dating of sorts? We know the rib fractures happen in NICU. We already know that things happen there that were under the direction of the nurse that could have caused that. We know that prenatally she had the IUGR, which could have prevented certain nutrients and certain movement in the placenta to develop the bones properly. The geneticist confirmed cupping of the ribs and the poor mineralization, which confirms that there could be a bone disease. The geneticist confirmed osteopenia, right?
Osteopenia of prematurity. So I guess there is a different classification for osteopenia, specifically in premature babies, which I didn't know. Like you stated, the severe intrauterine growth restriction he made mention because she couldn't move. You can't move. There's no bone loading. There's no developing your bones.
And then the other thing we have is that Amelia's had abnormal labs since she was born, right? And she was anemic since birth, even with supplements, right? And all of these things could lend themselves to not getting the nutrients she needed to have the bone development that she would need to withstand some of these things. And even with all of that, you're not allowed to get her further testing.
At the disposition when we were granted non-reunification, because of my genetic testing that I had done and my diagnosis with Ehlers-Danlos syndrome, and a carrier of 2 different genes, one of the genes could be associated with fractures. It's also associated with osteoporosis, and I've also been diagnosed with osteopenia, which means that, you know, essentially my bones are doing kind of what hers were doing.
Well, we got to go through that. I'm like in shock right here. You were diagnosed with EDS. You were diagnosed with osteo. Shut up. Why are your children not home? That makes zeros. So on top of all of this other stuff that we already know, you have diagnoses of osteopenia. You have EDS, which we know can cause brittle bones, right?
Yeah, she has a 50% chance of inheriting it from me. So I have Ehlers-Danlos syndrome, osteopenia, and then in my very basic genetic testing that I had done, I carry two genes, one being associated with bone fragility. It can also be associated with osteoporosis. And the other gene that I carry is associated with osteogenesis imperfecta, but it's such a rare gene that right now all the only studies that are found are in animals.
Do they not know it?
Right. So based off of that, we requested that she had genetic testing done at disposition, and we asked for a continuance until that genetic testing was done. They denied the continuance. They moved forward with non-reunification and allowed for genetic testing, and that if anything was found, we can file a motion at that point of discovery. So like you stated, everything that we've already proven, everything that we've already stated, they still want more, which is just mind-blowing to me, because from in utero, my poor child, you can see the story unfold with her, and now they want more. But yes, so we were allowed, ironically, to get this genetic testing, but the state made us go to the geneticist from UF Health that already testified against us, made us use a lab of their choosing. Like I said, I've already had genetic testing, so I was somewhat familiar with the process. I'm not allowed a patient portal to this lab.
That's illegal. Is it not illegal? You have parental rights.
So I had to file with the lab to request the entire genomic data, because not only do I not get a patient portal, this lab works in such a way. And let me back up. We requested a whole exome sequencing, which is 20,000 genes to be sequenced. And I asked for variants of unknown certainty. And I asked for secondary findings, which may not have anything to do with what she's going through now, but could pertain later in life, whether it's breast cancer, anything that she may carry. I want to know. Why not? We're paying $3,500, 20,000 genes. Just tell me everything that she's carrying. It turns out the way this lab works, they are only going to look for genes associated with the clinical findings that were submitted by Dr. Trepain, by the geneticist that had already, again, testified against us. So
basically, no genetic testing.
Right. So they're not doing a whole exome sequencing. We're not getting confirmation on the 20,000 genes. They are only going to look at a handful of genes on what they were told to look at.
I understand you're at non-reunification. Does that mean that they have scheduled a TPR trial?
They've scheduled a permanency hearing scheduled in July.
I thought that injustice happened here, but I think that they take the cake in Camden County.
Our judge sides with the state 90% of the time. There's a 10 or 11% reunification rating in my county.
Unfreaking real.
I'm just in shock the fact that everything that's been laid out before the court already, that they still want us to provide an additional answer. It's like they don't want to believe what's in front of them. I'm a little mortified that the court can come to a conclusion and admit that they didn't do their due diligence and look at all the medical history in regards to my daughter. I'm just really shocked in regards to that. And that's okay. And that they can have these experts come against these families, or particularly myself, and admit that they didn't look at her history or my history or any of her complications to take those into consideration, when there are medical papers that prove these conditions can cause bone fragility. And it just doesn't matter that that their opinions outweigh medical fact is mind-blowing to me, that they're willing to just rip apart children, well-established, loved children, sought after IVF babies after 16 years over opinions. It's heartbreaking. And not just any opinion, but when it boils down to it, a child abuse pediatrician, that her opinion, it holds the most weight. Because if she would have said anything else besides concluding that it's not an accidental trauma, I'm sure everyone would have followed suit. But all you see is addendum after addendum in her medical records saying, I agree with the previous findings. nobody does their own research to see what's wrong with my baby. We're speaking of a hospital that had access to all of her records at a fingertip away. She was just discharged. And you couldn't take the time to look at it before ripping apart a family, before causing such turmoil to a three-year-old, pulling away two beautiful babies from their mother and their father. It just doesn't make any sense to me.
And all done under the direction of a woman who has had to resign her previous positions for doing just this, for destroying families for no reason, for removing children who were not abused and calling it abused. I can't even believe that anybody puts any stock into the integrity of Dr. Barbara Knox. It's shocking that anyone would hire her, but then to allow her opinions and lazy medicine to have such a huge impact is mind-boggling. I think the thing during investigations are always like, better safe than sorry, right? You want to make sure that the kid's not being abused, right? You can figure it out later if they're not abused, but your freedoms are taken away from having the ability to find out if there's something else, from having the ability to get the appropriate genetic testing, from having the ability to decide where the genetic testing is going to be, and to make sure that this hospital that we don't trust at, I would never bring a child there now. Jeez, I got a whole list of hospitals I won't take a child to, but we're going to be required to have this overseen by the unbelievable.
Families have constitutional rights in the United States Constitution, the 4th and the 14th Amendment.
When we were removed on October 2nd, we had no rights to get any second opinion. What is the state so scared of to have a child be taken to a doctor to find out what is legitimately wrong?
Because they're protecting themselves. You're stuck. Like, better safe than sorry basically means we're just going to take everybody's kids and they don't have a chance to fight back or defend themselves or find out if there's actually something going on medical with their child.
And the judge saying that, like, you're getting this chance to, like, have this genetic testing. This is not a second opinion you're getting. They're sending you to the doctor they want you to go to, who's already testified against you. And they're acting like they're doing you a favor. This is no favor.
It was a handful of genes that they were told to look for. And I just don't know how that's fair.
It's not.
The one gene that I carry that is directly related, according to their clinical data, when you click on their hyperlinks on what Dr. Trepain submitted, this gene is listed several times as causing these type of injuries. When I spoke to the genetic counselor just yesterday, she said that they were not able to test that gene 100%, so it was unclear. They can't definitively say that she has it or doesn't have it. It was the one gene that the doctor told you to look for, but now you're telling me that you didn't have the capacity to look at that gene 100%, so something's not adding up.
Diana, I'm devastated about what your family is going through. Your husband, Corey, please convey our hearts for him as well. I can't imagine as a dad what that's got to feel like. And so for our listeners, I want to offer them a way to help, because I can't imagine listening to this and not being enraged about what has happened and the injustice of it. So I would like to ask our listeners to do a couple of things here. First of all, I would like you to log on to fosteringthefuturepodcast.org. There's a button right on the front page up at the top. It says the Georgia crisis. Please click on that. You will see a list of things that you can do to help advocate for these families. Also on there, you will find the page that I will be posting for the Sullivan family. If you could click to there, we're going to have specific things that you can do to help this family, including their gifts and go to help with legal expenses. I can't even imagine having to, on top of all these other things, worry about the financial aspects of everything that you're having to do to fight for your kids. So if our listeners could hit that up, give what you can, please call the people that we will have listed on the Sullivan family page to advocate for them. And please ask, have these legislators look into this case and send these kids home. And also to get the frick rid of Dr. Barbara Knox, if our listeners could call Governor Kemp, let's blow up his phones, 404-656 1776. That's Governor Kemp's office. Let's blow up his phone. Make sure he can't ignore us. His name is on all of the defects paperwork. If he's going to autograph and sign off on this bull, he needs to listen to what his agency is doing and try and redirect them. I would also like our listeners to call Senator Ossoff. He last year had the Senate hearings where he really seemed to care about the problems that were ongoing in child welfare in the state of Georgia. If that's how he really feels, he should want to help these families as well. So if our listeners can call Senator Ossoff at 470-786-7800, let's fill his voicemail box with all of us raising our voices for these families, especially for the Sullivan family. They fought so long and so hard to create this beautiful family. The only thing that we can do, and it's not even enough, is to return their children to them. So if our listeners can help in those ways, please visit the Sullivan page and find out how you can advocate, and also share the podcast with your friends so that they will also hear what is going on and want to help the Sullivan family and the other families affected in Georgia.
Thank you so much for joining us today. Make sure you subscribe and follow us on social. We hope that you join us again next time and keep on fostering the future.